Hello and welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast.
Welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. So this week, I want to talk to you about a sense of belonging, discrimination, biases, and diversity and inclusion. And this is all off the back of celebrating International Women's Day last week. Now, I don't know about you, but I began to cringe the more images I saw of women with their arms crossed, on social media. And not for those women, I wasn't cringing for them, but more for the organizations. We've got to be really careful here that these days don't become events on which marketing jump onto the bandwagon. You know, again, it frustrates me when I see gay pride and suddenly the organization's logos are changing to the rainbow colors. It's not good enough to make it into a marketing activity. It has to be, what are you doing internally in your organization to help improve the situation right now for people who are gay, for people who are black, for people who are minorities in any sense of the word? What are you doing to help them? And, you know, rather than demonstrating the support through flags or images, I'd rather organizations just shared either what they're doing, or at least the first step is to understand what's it like in their organization. A transparent approach to say, here's how many, you know, of the different types of people we have in our organization and the minorities, and here's, and this is not good enough. Even if they stood up and said, this is not good enough and we're going to do something about it, would be something. That in itself would say to the world, you're taking this seriously. When I grew up, as many of you know, from both an Eastern culture and a Western culture, a fusion of both cultures. And as I was growing up, you know, I grew up with up until the age of 12, I had, long hair, and sort of boys had top knots, as Sikh boys. And I felt like I needed to fit in. I took the most sacrilegious act any Sikh boy could take. And I decided to get my hair cut. I put a lot of pressure on my parents and said, I want to fit in, please let me cut my hair. And that day it was a horrible day, I remember. I started to fit in, became like everybody else. But inside there was this deep sense of regret and just something didn't feel right. But I didn't have the courage to do anything and make any changes. I really wanted to follow my path. I really wanted to go back to being a practicing Sikh, follow my religion, because it's really important to me. And one day I decided, much, much older, after getting married, and we were expecting our first child, and I decided I was going to be who I always intended to be. And I made a decision that I'm going to be a practicing Sikh. I'm going to grow my hair, I'm going to wear a turban, and I'm going to change both inwardly and outwardly. And I have to say, it took the help of a remarkable woman, my wife, who was my rock, who held my hand when I was scared, when I didn't have the courage. She held my hand and gave me the strength when I didn't have it to help me through. And I remember, so I was working in pharmacy at the time, and I had a 2-week break from work. And I thought, that's the time I'm going to now go ahead, change my appearance and follow my heart. And I was petrified. I'll not hold anything back here. I was petrified. And I remember driving down to work after having changed. So I grew my beard. I started to grow my hair. I wore a turban and I walked into work on the first day. And everybody looked at each other like, uh-oh, what's happened here? And nobody said anything. And they all sort of looked at each other strangely. You could cut the air with a knife. But everybody carried on like, let's just pretend nothing's changed and let's all just all carry on and doing what we're doing. And, there was a heavy atmosphere at the time. And one of our patients, I love my patients to bits. I absolutely love them all. And one of our patients came in and he was a much older man. And he was an ex-officer. He'd been in the war. And I wasn't sure how he was going to take me. And he said, is that you? And I said, yeah, yes, it is. And I called him by his name. And he said, wow, I didn't realize you were a Sikh. And I still didn't know how he was going to take this, but I was impressed. He knew that I was a Sikh. And then he shook my hand and he said, "You're a Sikh." He said some of the best fighters and the soldiers in the war were Sikhs, and it was an honor to have them alongside me. And he said, "I'm so proud of you that I know that you're a Sikh." And this is somebody I'd been talking to for 2-3 years as a patient. And it was humbling. I was almost brought to tears with his response, because he made me feel like I belonged. He accepted me for who I was, and I didn't need anybody's validation. But when there were people that you cared about responding in that way, it made such a difference. And we ended up talking about all sorts of stuff. He told me about the war and the Sikh's role in the war and why he was so proud of me. I then started to get a telling off, saying, "Why hadn't I done this before? And why did I wait till now?" And then we got into other conversations about, I guess, questions people have on their minds but don't think to ask because they might offend. You're only going to offend if your intent is bad. And he said, "You know, I've seen Sikhs wearing different colored turbans. Does that mean anything?" And we started to talk about that. He asked if what changes in my diet, my lifestyle, and we started talking about that. And we had a really, really nice conversation, and it was just so lovely and heartwarming. And I felt so thankful to this man for accepting me the way I was. And it was just fantastic. And then I had another patient came in. She was another lady who had gone through an awful lot of pain and suffering. And she used to come to the pharmacy every day for, I guess, a bit of companionship. She used to talk to me, my team, and she had a relationship with us. And she was lonely. Her husband was ill. And we used to have really good banter. And she said to me, "Does this mean we can't have a laugh anymore?" And I said, "Absolutely not." And she, again, immediately accepted everything about me and who I was. And what I didn't realize at the time was, whilst these people who I had a lot of love and affection for would embrace me, I didn't realize that as we grew older, my children came into the world and I wanted to take them to wonderful places around the world, that I would have to think twice about where we go on holiday because of the way I look. Because there are some places in the world where I cannot go because of the way I look. And I have to think twice. Now, anybody else out there who's certainly doesn't look like me may think that's crazy. You know, anywhere in the world, you wouldn't have to think about where you want to go. You just think that's exotic, that's lovely, let's go there, other than the financial implications. I can't do that. Even somewhere as, I guess, cosmopolitan multicultural, potentially, as Florida. My sister lives in Florida. And I haven't been to visit her now for a few years because of the reception I've had there in the past. So I didn't realize that was the implication I was going to have on my children. I didn't realize that the way I looked would have an impact on my job or future prospects. I didn't realize that the way I looked would mean that then how we get treated at airports or various other venues or, you know, events would start to have an impact on our experiences. I didn't realize any of that. But that's the problem with discrimination. These biases, if we don't face into them, they can lead into discrimination and hate. Everybody's born with biases. I've challenged myself when my children, my daughter, I sit there thinking, what if she came home with somebody who wasn't a Sikh? Let alone any other parents, just wasn't a Sikh. How would I deal with it? And then I start to think about, do you know what? I don't care what they look like. I don't care who it would be. If it made my baby happy, that's all I want in my life. And that's taken me a while to face into my own biases. But this is what we all need to do. We need to understand the biases we have, but not let them become ways that we then start to discriminate or drive into further hate, if you like. One of the things that, I talked about organizations and how I get frustrated when I see organizations or certainly marketing functions in organizations jumping on the bandwagon of these really, really important, significant days that are there to highlight a challenge or a problem that we still face in the world. The Endelman Trust Bullet Barometer, I don't know if anybody uses it, but the 2022 is out. And again, it focuses on, once again, organizations' role, societal role in ethical, moral issues. And it's imperative now that organizations are authentic in supporting causes like minimizing hate discrimination and supporting equality, equity, whether it's women, International Women's Day, whether it's gay pride, whether it's supporting ethnic minorities, finding a voice for those who don't have a voice, giving people an environment, creating an environment where people feel that they belong where they haven't belonged before. I was having a conversation with one of our team members, and there is a generation of people out there, and this isn't good or bad, it's just the fact. There's a generation of people out there who the thought of someone being non-binary is an alien concept, that you can choose your gender. It's not choosing your gender, it's saying, I don't relate to any gender. And one of my colleagues and I, we ended up getting into a really deep conversation about this to say, imagine being in a body that you can't relate to, and the internal turmoil that would cause. This isn't a new fad. This isn't a new age thinking. This has always been there. But now we're getting to the stage where we're accepting people for who they are and what they are. And they don't need to feel frustrated or that they don't belong. In fact, it's how do we embrace everybody? How do we embrace everybody for who they are and what they are? There's a reason why, and I'm going to go off tangent here now, but there's a reason why I used to love the Eurovision Song Contest and still do. I was fascinated with different cultures. I would love to go and see the world. I would love to go and see different cultures. Unfortunately, that fascination seems to have been replaced with nationalism and protectionism and isolation, instead of extending a hand to say, tell me more. I would love to know more about you. I still think that's deeply inherently inside every single human being. Despite the biases, biases don't mean hate. Biases were there to protect us. It's when we don't overcome them that they can then lead to discrimination and then lead to hate. It's accepting the fact that we have biases and then challenging ourselves to say, is that really true? And so one of the things I think we all need to go away and do is think about how we can extend that hand of friendship. That man who I will never forget, that patient who made me feel authentic in myself, because I finally felt authentic. You know, we do have a need to be accepted in society. Everybody out there is fighting their own battle. So how can we now accept the people around us? Banter and all that nonsense that goes on or has gone on in organizations, we have to end it. We have to end it now. It's of no good. And the only way we're going to do that is when we speak up. Every single one of us speaks up for the other groups, for the minorities. So sense of belonging, discrimination, biases, diversity, inclusion. There's a whole world of people out there who are deeply wanting to belong. How can we all embrace each other to create this sense of humanity, really supporting and helping each other along? I mentioned organizations and the fact that a lot of them are working now to help improve diversity and inclusion. We did one of the expert insights videos that we do within Tech Academy. We did one with Dr. Andrew Marcinko on social identity theory and organizational authenticity. And he touches upon this point really well about how we've got to be authentic. There's no point in us flying flags and doing all these outwardly things if inwardly we are not making strides to make improvements. Even accepting the fact that we're in a very, very poor place can be a start. So look, that's all for me today. Sense of belonging, diversity, inclusion, biases, discrimination, and hate. How can we get rid of all of this stuff? We weren't meant to be hate. We aren't born hating. It's something we learn. And if we can learn it, we can unlearn it. There's been plenty of examples out there of people who have gone into extreme groups and then realized that what they're doing is wrong. We need to minimize this hatred and embrace each other. So we need to create environments where people really feel like they belong. So look, that's all from me today. Amrit Sander from The Engagement Coach. Take care, and I shall see you soon.
The Engagement Coach Podcast.